Hello, and welcome back to the MRX Lab podcast brought to you by FlexMR, where we investigate and explore topics on the fringes of market research. I'm your host, Chris Martin, and today we're going to be talking about the gig economy and the impact, if any, it's having on the sector. But perhaps the first question we should turn our attention to is, what exactly defines the gig economy? There's a few different approaches we can take to pinpoint an exact definition, but most agree that the gig economy is some form of market system that relies on an independent workforce and short-term or casual commitments. Typically, I'd argue that this form of market encourages more than just freelancing. Individuals are encouraged to find multiple types of gig and wouldn't really be beholden to any single specialism. In fact, many primary examples of gig work could be viewed as deliberately low-skilled. And technology has been a big factor in the growth of this kind of work, with an increasing number of firms acting as connectors between individuals and the work they're taking part in. Uber, Airbnb, Deliveroo, Amazon are all important actors in this space. Rather than offering direct contracted employment, these companies offer individuals a way to earn money from casual, non-committal jobs such as driving, renting accommodation, delivery, and such like. Now, there's vigorous debate in many countries about whether this form of self-employment is positive or negative overall. While some contend that in an economic downturn, the gig economy provides an accessible form of income, others might say that the gig economy work could be completed by contracted employees, and that its very existence encourages firms to act as bad social actors. But regardless of opinion on it, that's not really the debate I want to focus on today. Instead, I wanted to examine whether, with 5 million UK workers and 55 million of the United States workforce, the gig economy has already had an impact on the market research industry. The first point to make here is that employment in our sector has been relatively insulated from the impact this type of work has had on the workforce. Gig economy work favours simple tasks: grocery delivery, ride sharing, rentals, tutoring, pet sitting, that kind of thing. And that's not to say there isn't a healthy freelance community within the insights industry, but it has been relatively unaffected by wider changes in the economy. However, there is more evidence that the surge in casual work has instead impacted the way in which insights professionals are working. And by that I mean, with the gig economy accounting for a reported one-third of all US workers, the way in which we ask questions, understand people's financial situations, and get to grip with consumer identities has to evolve as well. For example, research from the UK government on attitudes towards the gig economy found that it's widely considered among workers to be normalising a more flexible and independent approach to work, but it's also treated very much as a secondary source of income and not primary employment. So it's also worth considering whether the gig economy has had an impact on research sampling, both in terms of how it's viewed by researchers and participants, as these are often also considered secondary sources of income. And for a long time, there have been issues of respondent quality in market research. Professional participants, as they're called, are of particular concern, especially those who may not be exactly representative of who we're trying to reach. But that, I think, puts the gig economy at odds with the principle of good sampling. While one encourages individuals to find multiple sources of income to be available on multiple platforms and take any available work, the other, the latter, involves attempting to find the right and most representative group of individuals to take part in research activities. Now, some technology platforms like UBDI and Measure Protocol are finding middle ground between these two extremes. Both these platforms and others are finding creative ways to give individuals more control over their data. acting as a secondary source of income, similar to that offered by the gig economy, but also providing researchers and insights professionals with control over the information that they are gathering. In fact, there's a lot of interest right now in improving the quality of research sampling. So much so that it was the top buzz topic in this year's Green Book report. Is the answer to the data quality challenge making it easier for a greater number of individuals to become research participants? Possibly. But there must also be a way to validate sample and improve control. Platforms like these ones I've mentioned are bringing in blockchain to help this issue. And while it's too early to say what the results of that technology might be, it's at least a promising step in the right direction. So, to return to the initial question we set out to answer in this episode, has the gig economy already affected insights professionals? No, I don't think it has. Despite growing year on year at an incredible pace, the market research workforce and freelance community have been insulated from any changes that these kind of markets have brought about. However, that's not to say that the gig economy won't have a future impact on the sector. And in particular, it seems the way gig economy is transforming consumer and worker behaviour could have consequences for research sampling. Whether this is positive or negative is still yet to be seen, but the work that is already being done to improve data quality is certainly promising at least. And that brings me to the end of today's episode. So I want to thank you for tuning into the MRX Lab podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to be notified when we publish new episodes on your favourite podcasting service. And you can check out our show notes at www.fletsmr.net. Just head over to the Resource Centre and choose Podcast from the drop-down menu. While we're out of time today, I will see you next time, where we'll be talking about branding, rituals, sacred and profane consumption, and what it all means for studying and understanding consumer behaviours.